Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in.
Our next guest is just another powerhouse in the space of health and wellness. He is coach and fitness entrepreneur, Don Saladino. So for over 20 years, Don has coached actors, athletes, musicians, and business executives. In 2005, he opened his New York City-based gym, Drive 25. And after operating this gym for 15 years, Don expanded to a global online fitness business. He has developed a reputation for training some of the biggest names in Hollywood, including Ryan Reynolds, Blake Lively, Jake Gyllenhaal, John Krasinski, Emily Blunt, Anne Hathaway, Hugh Jackman, and many more. He's been tapped as a fitness expert for publications such as Muscle and Fitness, Men's Health, Men's Fitness, People, US Weekly, In Touch, Cosmo, and many more as well. He has also done live fitness demos on shows such as The Today Show, Page Six TV, People Now, E! News, and The Better Show. He even sits on the advisory board of Men's Health magazine. In March of 2018 and October of 2021, he even had the great honor of shooting for the cover of the iconic Muscle and Fitness magazine. But most importantly, Don lives in New York with his wife, Mel, their two children, Amelia and Donnie Jr., and their pups, Regatoni and Sambuca. Don is just, he's someone we met a couple months ago even, but is just such a genuine guy in this space and is really out there to get the message people need to know to make a difference in their journey, help them gain confidence and feel better in their bodies. We absolutely love the things that Don shares in this episode. So let's take a listen. Don, thanks so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to come in and say hey and chat with us today.
Well, guys, I'm excited to be here. I mean, I feel like I've known both of you for years, and just to think that we only met a couple months ago, it's just bizarre. So thanks for having me on.
I know. It's so crazy. I mean, honestly, being able to work out just in your vicinity of the strength and the control and the expertise that you have was really incredible. But the human that you are, and you were so welcoming, you're so open, you're so humble for everything that you've accomplished, the people that you work with, like, let's just name drop a couple, can we?
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, the fact that some of your biggest clients are people that we see every day in the movies. You've worked with Hugh Jackman. You've worked with Ryan Reynolds on so many of of his movies, right? And helping him get to where he is. So it's just, it's really incredible, not only what you've done in the industry for how long now, 20 years?
24.
Woo. But like, I'm to old. See you. No, but I mean, to see this transformation of how you continue to help and give and provide, and you haven't been, I don't know. I mean, just meeting you, you're so humble in this as well, which I think is amazing.
Thank you so much. Well, listen, I could sit here and praise you guys for hours, so but I will take it. Thank you very much. And thanks for the good words. And again, just psyched to be on here.
And you kind of jokingly say like, yeah, I'm old, but I think one of the biggest things is like, it's so inspiring to see you still be so strong, still continue to grow strength, grow, you know, muscle mass in your body. And that's, I think, what a lot of people start realizing as they get older. They're like, man, it's tougher for me to do the same things I used to. It's tougher for me to feel like I can make progress in my body. Like, I think there's this myth, we'll say, that, oh, we just continue to lose muscle mass, you know, as we get older until the day that we die. And like, do you think that's true?
I don't. And, you know, listen, statistically, I'm not going to say things don't, you know, get a little bit more difficult or we have to start thinking differently. But I also think, you know, statistically, people just start giving up more. And when you look at that and you look at the stats, you'll see as people get older, they're like, all right, not moving the way that I used to move. One of my podcast partner, Derek Hansen, he's a world-renowned running mechanics coach, just spoke in New York this weekend. Brilliant guy. And we were, you know, just out here talking about kind of reestablishing that loss of elasticity and that loss of athleticism. And I think what becomes different is, you know, when you're 20, you have the ability to just kind of go and jump into things and hit repeat and hit repeat and hit repeat and just the recovery changes a little bit. And I think we have to become a little bit more thoughtful as we're older. But, you know, things change also when we're older. We're sitting a lot more. We have different stresses in our life at in our 40s than we do, you know, wife, kids, you know, husband, whatever it is, home, mortgage, business. You know, you have all these other things to think about that, you know, when you were 17, 18, you didn't have to think about. So listen, at 44 now, and honestly, I say old jokingly, I don't feel old. I feel like I'm 24. I'm still PRing on lifts and I'm still going out and I'm running and I'm still doing things, you know, I did when I was playing college baseball and when I was that age. So for me, I think that's one of the reasons why I've been so in love with this for my entire life is just because I don't feel like there is a ceiling. I don't feel like there is a limit. I feel like it's an industry where there's so much to learn. And, you know, Jen, even like watching, Jen, I don't know if you saw, but I reposted your morning, not morning, your before you go to bed. Almost it was like a little bit of like a four movement. I don't want to call it a circuit, but it really was. It was like a four movement complex call where you want to be doing just four different movements of just how to unwind before bed. I love the breathing. I love the posterior chain work. It's so simple. It's so easy. But I bet if you slapped an Oura Ring on someone for, you know, a month and they saw their sleep quality from not doing that to when they're doing it, they're going to see a major improvement on that. And that's why I put that up. I was like, oh my God, this is so simple. This is so easy. I might even just go back to this tonight and do this myself and see what happens over the next few nights. I know it's going to help do my body good because anytime I do something like this before bed, it does my body good. So that's what excites me, just being around people I can learn from, constantly learning and then applying it to myself and other people that I work with. It's like a puzzle that you're just constantly, you're never finishing this puzzle, but you're always adding to it, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. And I thank you so much. I did see that you reshared that and I'm super honored. And I think that's the hard part is people see a lot of people on Instagram who look a certain way and usually they're very young and they're in their 20s. And it's hard to say, well, I'm in my 40s and it's too late for me to get started. My body's already going down. I'm having so much pain. There's so many other things going on. Like, what do you tell someone in that mindset who maybe they're in their upper 30s or 40s or maybe even 50s and are just so discouraged to even start?
I think we got to rebuild confidence. And I think we just kind of rewire the way that they think. And there was a really simple formula. I don't know if you ever talked about this, but I owned a few clubs in New York City. I owned one for 15 years. And my formula was really simple. Like I wasn't a PT, but I had a group of PTs I worked with. So our trainers, we bring them through either a TPI evaluation or like just a very basic FMS screening. And if there was red flags, they'd go to our PTs and they'd run them through an SFMA or whatever it was. And I would always tell the coaches, I said, listen, we're not going to make body composition change in 1 hour, but show some type of improvement. And that's easy to do. So someone comes in and they've been unable to touch their toes and they're complaining about it or they're complaining about discomfort or moving slowly. Let's just focus on getting them to leave in that hour and saying to you, oh my God, I haven't been able to do this. Or, oh my God, I feel better. Oh my God. And that's where we have to start them. And I think that's where our industry, this art becomes lost. You know, everyone, I think in a way they're like looking for love in all the wrong places. It's like, how are they quantifying success? And as you know better than everyone, both of you know this, I mean, you're both PTs, you get someone moving better, then they start feeling more youthful. And then they're like, oh my God, maybe I want to go for a run. Oh my God, I haven't done this in a while. Oh my God, I haven't done this in 10 years. And the conversation starts changing. It's like, I could still do this. Or, oh my God, maybe I can even do this. And then at a rate that I was unable to do this in the past. And I think as a coach, it's our responsibility to try and show that level of improvement and try and bring their minds back to a good place, a strong place to where they're saying, you know, what's next? I mean, really quick story. A buddy of mine came to me. This was years ago. It was the weirdest request that I've ever heard of. I mean, it was bizarre. He comes into my office, pretty muscular guy, but like holding a decent amount of body fat and kind of watery is like the term we like to use. And he's like, you know, I just want to see my top two abs. And I'm like, what? I've never even heard of this. Like top two abs. Everyone's always saying the bottom two. So we looked at his nutrition plan and we broke it down. And I'm like, John, you're really not far off from this. I really think we just need, it's not really a workout thing. You're working out fine. Like you've rehabbed your back great with our PT, our strength coach has you trap bar deadlifting now. You're every week getting a little bit stronger. We're not overreaching. Like everything's good. I think you need to make these adjustments. And I think it was as simple as like, let's just cut everything in half. Like the booze gets cut in half. That wasn't that bad. The desserts maybe get wiped out for 6 days a week. And we started removing some, a little bit of the processed foods, but I didn't remove everything from him. And because I knew he really struggled with this in the past, he came back to me 3 weeks later. He took his shirt off in my office and I literally saw a definition of his top two abs.
Wow.
And then he looked at me and he says, I can't believe this. He goes, I didn't have to give everything up. And then he said the magic words, what's next?
Mm. Yeah.
Well, he was motivated. And I think that's the main message here. A lot of times coaches or influencers, they want to try and give their A program, but they need to realize that A program isn't going to fit for 99% of the planet because they're not wired the way that we're wired, right?
Yep.
And we need to just take more of a minimalistic approach and then build, you know, and then build that consistency from there. I was laughing when I worked out with Dom. I showed up to the gym, didn't know Dom, shook his hand, build on. I'm like, what's up, man? Like, we already started, we start deadlifting. He's like, yo, man, I've been away for like a month. And then I'm watching him deadlift and I'm like, I don't want to start cursing. I'm like, look at this guy, man. I'm like, what's his background? I was laughing. He's yanking 400 off the floor. And you could just see the foundation, the consistency. He's not losing. Like, fine, Dom, were you your strongest ever? No, but you pulled 400 pounds or maybe even more than that off the floor for I think a set of five. And I was like, holy shit, this guy hasn't touched a weight in a month. Look at this. This is unbelievable. That, like, you're not going to ever really lose that. Like, it might go a little dormant and you might have to say, all right, like, we got to wake this back up, but it's always in there.
Hey, like you said, man, that probably my first time doing that in a good 6 to 8 years at that weight and that volume.
Yeah, I mean, that's even worse. I was thinking a month. I was like, we didn't work out a month, but 6 to 8 years. But think about that. You didn't deadlift in 6 to 8 years. You went, you yanked 400 pounds off the floor like it was literally a t-shirt.
Yeah, I would say the first time I've gone above 400 in 6 to 8 years, definitely been deadlifting. But like you said, that base is there. And when the motivation hits, when I have Don across me constantly tossing extra plates on the bar, I'm like, oh, shit, I guess we got to do this then.
that was fun, man. I mean, just getting in there with that energy. I was bummed your wife wasn't there with us that day. But I mean, that was even that next day when we got in with Kaizen, everyone started running around. Here you're in an environment, honestly, like there was no ego. We were just... Everyone was there to push each other. Everyone was there to help. In my eyes, that's an absolutely perfect environment. Like that to me is like, I don't know where the time went. We just had fun, you know, yeah. And that's what training is.
I mean, and I think that's what was hard during a pandemic time when all of that community aspect kind of went away. And then it was like, let me try to find it online. And a lot of these programs, as you're saying, it goes all or nothing, right? It's like, okay, now you're going to do all of the things and have this perfect diet plan. And that confidence, if you don't show up for it one day and then another day and another day, it starts to like eat at that confidence and tell yourself, oh, I can't do it. I can't show up. And I remember some of my most like successful little challenges that have been like free throughout the years are just these 7 day challenges that are like, just do two mobility exercises a day. That's it. That's all I'm asking for. And in my head, when I first launched it, I was like, this is way too easy. No one's going to like this. No one's going to feel anything. And I got like the biggest response because it was that little entry, as you're saying, to help build that confidence into feeling something different.
You build success. You turned around and listen, we're approaching that time of the year, guys. Like, I mean, how long have we been between the three of us? We've been in this industry. How long? It's a long time, but every year it's the same thing. It's like people set these New Year's resolutions and they go and they do the same thing every year and they're just unsuccessful. And when I say they're unsuccessful, I'm saying that because, you know, if you try something and you lose 20 pounds, but then you put it back on, it's like, well, did it really work? Like when someone comes to me, like, I did the keto diet, it worked for me. I'm like, well, why do you think it worked for you? Well, I lost 20 pounds. I'm like, I thought you just saying you said you gained 20 pounds back. I did. I said, so it didn't work.
Yeah.
Like it didn't work. Like it's not, I'm not saying that it's a bad diet. I'm not saying it's a bad nutrition plan. I'm just saying it's for a specific individual. We can break down, you know, if they have cancer, anti-Alzheimer's protocol, whatever it is. I do believe there's a place for some of these things, but listen, it's not going to change. The deadlift's never going to change. You know, going in and doing like people ask me, well, how do you eat? What's your diet? Is it paleo? Is it whole this? Or I don't even know what half these diets are. I'm like, yeah, no, I do something called the high food quality diet. And they're like, what? I'm like, yeah, I just like to eat really high quality foods. And well, you measure macros. Yeah. When I have, like, I was just on the cover of Muscle and Fitness this month. And yeah, when I have to dive in and I like measuring macros because it actually keeps pressure off of me, because then I can just know what I'm consuming. But I believe in metabolic flexibility. I believe in developing the ability to use carbohydrates and fat as fuel, though we all kind of always pigeonhole ourselves into just doing one specific thing. And then I really don't feel like we become as well-rounded with our metabolism, with our training. It's just like, we're like, oh, I know it works for ourselves. We'll be a little more open-minded about it. But like I said, there's so much to learn in this industry.
Yeah, I think that you mentioned something earlier about goals and how people come in with certain goals. And a lot of the times that might be something like you said, your friend, oh, I just want to see my top two abs. Or, you know, you just mentioned, oh, I wanted to lose 20 pounds. And that might be the initial goal someone comes in. But I think along with that comes a lot more, like you said, building the confidence that people feeling better and stronger in their bodies. And I just think that I'm going to ask a little more complex of a question here, because in this environment now that we're growing into where we want to, everyone's trying to promote body positivity and, you know, loving your body no matter what you look like, do you think that there's still a place where we can have these aesthetic goals that people might have, like, oh, I do want to feel like I have a tighter booty, or, you know, tighter glutes, or I want to be able to see my abs, you know, if the goals are also coming along with other things?
Listen, I think if you can look at yourself in the mirror naked and you're saying to yourself, this is exactly where I want to be, then keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
But I don't understand, like, it actually frustrates me a little bit. You'll see some of the publications who are like, you know, F this and have the cake and have the pizza. I'm like, yeah, I'm not saying not to, but you've got to have a little discipline here. If like every time I wanted to have something, I had it, I wouldn't feel good about myself.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't. Like, part of my identity and who I am, you know, is, you know, a part of that is, you know, I am a coach, and I am, you know, have been on magazine covers, and I have done that stuff. And that is something that's given me a lot of confidence from a very young age. My life is well beyond that. I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm a business owner. My kids and my wife are the most important things to me. But I'm not going to lie and tell you, I don't want to look good with my shirt off. So when these publications turn around and they're just like, you know, trying to empower people to just give it up and have it, I think it sets a bad example. Because I think we have to have a little discipline in life. I don't think it's always going to be easy. I think there's going to be times where, you know, if it's a Tuesday night and you're home and you know you're going out for a party on Friday and Saturday, and those are your nights to go have a good time. Like, no, I don't want you going and drinking and eating a pizza on Tuesday. I don't. Save it for the other night. Because then what happens is this. You overstep, you continue to do it, and then you feel like shit about yourself. If you're someone who can go out 3 times a week and eat pizza and have a drink, and you're healthy and your blood markers are good and you're getting good quality sleep and your body composition is good and you're like, I feel great, then who am I telling you to change? Perfect. I mean, a great example of it was, you know, I can't mention her name, but there was a well-known model who comes into my office one day and she goes, oh my God, I got to talk to you. And I'm like, well, what is it? She's like, I've got to stop. I'm drinking wine and I'm eating dessert. I'm like, okay, like, what's the problem? Like, well, first off, like, is your booker, like the person booking you on jobs, are they upset with your body composition? And she's like, no. I'm like, well, are your measurements off? Like, because I know you have to fit at a certain measurement. She's like, my measurements are great. I'm like, personal question, I could talk to you about this. How do you look naked? She smiled. She goes, I'm happy with it. I'm like, well, how's your sleep quality? How are you feeling? She's like, I feel amazing. I said, so what's the fucking problem? I said, honestly, like, what are you having every night? She's like, I'm having like the last 6-7 nights, I went out, I had a glass of wine and I took a taste of my friend's dessert. I'm like, look at yourself, for God's sakes. Like, if this becomes out of hand and any of those problems, that any of those things I just brought up becomes a problem, then we'll talk. I said, until then, grow up. I said, seriously, like, until then, like, you're fortunate enough where you exercise and you live a really healthy lifestyle. If I'm telling you right now, you can't have a glass of red wine, you know, and it's not every night, like maybe it was the last, whatever it was, 4 or 5 nights, but you're panicking. Good. You know, I'm glad you're trying to keep the train on the tracks. If it becomes a problem, let's talk about it. And then, you know, if you start drinking a bottle of wine, then we have to talk. But, you know, right now it's not a problem. Stop putting all this pressure on you because society is telling you, well, I got to go gluten-free. Mm-hmm. And I'm having cake. So when these, I know it got a little off track there, but, you know, I think what we're trying to do with empowering body positivity, I'm 100% I'm on board. I'm 100% on board. But someone's got to ask themselves, if you are not feeling good about yourself, you need to assess how you're approaching your wellness like it's a business person starting a business. When we start a business, most of the time, people will establish a business plan. What is the end goal? Then we start at the finish line. How do I get there? I'm trying to build this billion-dollar company. Okay, what do I have to do? Well, I need to have, you know, 1,000 stores open, and they need to be, you know, blah, 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 blah. And you start this business plan, and you start at the finish, and in, to the point where it becomes so like targeted, where you're waking up every day going, this is what I have to do every day. And that's the mistake people make, is they immediately think about becoming a billionaire, or they immediately start thinking about losing that 20 pounds that they've never been able to lose. And they're not focusing on what they have to do today. I tell my challengers, guys, it's very simple. I'm giving you your homework to do. I'm not telling you to be perfect. I'm not. But focus on what you have to do today. Then look at yourself in the mirror tonight and say, did I do the best of my ability? And if the answer is yes, I want you to look at yourself with gratitude. I want you to smile at yourself in the mirror. I want you to go to bed, and I want you to wake up, and then I want you to do it again. Mm-hmm. And then it's that simple. Like one of my neighbors is in here this morning training at the barn, and he said last year, probably 200 days, you know, he was drinking and eating. This year is probably going to be 50. Mm. Like, phenomenal. Mm-hmm. He said, next year, maybe it's 25. I said, great. I don't want you to give it up. But if you feel that good and you feel like this is easy, I'm a better person. I'm in better shape. I feel better. That's what I think it's about. It's not about perfection. It's about improvement.
I love that. And I think that's such an important thing for people to continuously remember. But I think what's hard is then playing that fine line of, well, I'm not trying to avoid it and create an issue mentally for myself, or a dysregulated relationship with food now. But I'm also wanting to be mindful of what I'm putting in and respecting my body. So how does someone start to kind of walk that line? Like, what is it that you recommend?
I think you should give them little checkpoints, right? And I think everyone's wired differently. I think some people can jump right into it and they're type A and they're like, oh my God, every day I'm feeling better from this and I just don't want to break. On the other hand, there are other people who might have to sacrifice giving up things that they really have enjoyment, that they find enjoyment from, which is where I'll turn around and say, all right, man, you were doing that 7 days a week. Can you make it till Saturday? That's when you said you had a big dinner. Well, what can I do Saturday? Well, be good all week and let's just go have fun Saturday. Don't even think about it. And I think it's that approach. It's that not trying to be perfect all the time. I see it with New Year's resolutions. People just dive into it. And they're like, oh my God, I'm 2 weeks in. I haven't had a sip of alcohol. I haven't had a cheat. I haven't gone out. I'm like, you're being miserable. Yeah. Like, and then they go and they have one big night and then they retain some water. And then they suddenly are like, I'm discouraged because I put 4 of the 7 pounds that I lost back on. Why am I doing this anymore? So I just think it's the wrong approach. I think it's understanding that this is a lifestyle change and this isn't about, you know, giving it all up and being miserable. There's ways. I mean, think about the example I gave with my friend John. Like, he said the magic words, what's next?
Yeah.
And that is, as coaches, that's what we need to be, how we need to be directing people. And I think as individuals getting involved in this, just try and improve. This New Year's, don't turn around and say, I'm going to try and be perfect for the next, you know, 8 weeks. Like, maybe you lose all this weight. Maybe you put it, why don't we just start trying to establish good habits? Why don't you start trying to incorporate one good thing that Jen's putting up on her social media or Tom's putting up on his social media? Like, take one thing a week and just try and implement that. Or one thing a month. Like, think about that. If you and Dom turn around right now and you're like, we're going to list our 12 most, oh God, like abrupt changes, 12 things that I just think that everyone should be doing. And everyone took one of those changes and implemented it every month. I mean, that's 12 huge changes that they're implementing in their lifestyle per year. That's a lot.
Huge.
Think about that. Like, all right, let's get the recommended water consumption, half your body weight in ounces, month one. Month two, let's eliminate all processed foods. Month three, let's start with some light exercise. We're going to just try and get our non-exercise activity thermogenesis, our NEAT, our 10,000 steps a day at the very least. If you want to incorporate one of our training programs, fantastic. Like, if you're 3 months in and you already made those three big changes, holy shit, like, we're in a really good direction, right?
Oh yeah, that'd be so massive. And the fact that, I mean, just thinking about breaking it down that way and thinking of one thing for that month, like, it doesn't have to be so overwhelming. And
should do that.
Yeah, exactly. Come that's on. What I'm thinking.
I'm like, shoot, I need to start implementing those things once a month.
No, but you're actually a bad example because you already have balance. Like yep. You guys have balance in your life already. Like I would even say, like look, like you guys have great body composition. You move beautifully. You're like the epitome of health and wellness. Like I don't like. What are you guys really like? And that's what I'd say. What are you guys really trying to change? I think you guys are there, but that's just my opinion. Like I think when you can get to a point where you're like the both of you, where you can go out and you know you want to have some dessert, or we were with Kelsey that night and she dove into a hamburger. Like I love seeing that.
Yeah.
Because Kelsey's like, Kelsey can eat that hamburger in front of us without an ounce of guilt. When most people would be like immediately trying to justify it. Like, all right, like I haven't had this in a while. Like Kelsey didn't explain herself.
Yeah.
Kelsey ordered a hamburger. She deserves to have a hamburger. And she went and she did it and she enjoyed it and she had no guilt. That to me, I think is finding that high level of like wellness.
Yeah.
Health, fitness. That's like, to me, that's beautiful. Like she didn't have to justify herself. She's there. And guess what? Kelsey trains hard and she makes really good food choices and she's got one of the better physiques I've seen out of anyone in the industry. So like, but she's got a good outlook on it, right? She may not have always been there. She'll admit that. So that's my kind of wish for people is just don't try and take the same approach that you've been taking and jump into it as if, oh, this is this all or nothing approach. Think about the example I gave of my buddy John. Make a couple of those changes, a minimalistic approach, build some consistency, and then turn around and say, all right, what's next? Because this isn't as hard as I thought.
And I think it's when people get to that what's next point that, yes, you might be seeing some of those external changes, but really it's that curiosity of, oh, this is, I'm feeling something new inside. I'm feeling this confidence and these hormonal changes. You might not know they're hormonal changes, but things going on where you're getting more confidence, you're having less stress in your life because you're feeling better about what you're doing. And maybe you're starting to promote some more metabolic flexibility or something because of the changes you've made. And that's something you brought up earlier. And I kind of want you to dive in on how can people start to explore where they might be at in their current metabolism, how flexible they might be with that. Can you kind of just break that down a little more?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Up until recently, I probably didn't have a great answer for this because there was two ways that I would really have people look at their nutrition. Obviously, high food quality, but I'd either have people measure through like their palm, their fist, their hand, their thumb, like a very simple principle. I think I learned from Berardi years ago, or measuring macros. But even measuring macros, it's not a guessing game. It's an educated guessing game because, you know, when someone's like, well, what macros did Ryan Reynolds measure? I'm like, we didn't even really know. Ryan didn't measure macros. But but what Ryan's measuring and what I'm measuring are two completely different things. Or what Ryan's measuring and you're measuring are two different things. So even that, it's like, you have to figure that out and that takes time. And I still think that's rigid. There's actually, I don't mean to promote this product, but there's actually a device out there called Lumen. And it's a little like, you blow into this device and it measures your CO2. It basically tells you whether you're burning fat or carbohydrates, it's energy. And I didn't believe it. I sent it to Brandon Marcello, who's like a world-renowned researcher, and he broke it down. Then I sent it to Dr. Gabrielle Lyon, and she broke it down. And I started meeting with the company, and I literally like tore them up for 6 months to the point where I started trying it after my muscle and fitness cover shoot. And I was able to quantify an improvement on my metabolism through this flex score. And I really enjoyed using it. It's a lot of fun. It's just educated carb cycling. It's just waking up, telling you whether you need to do a boost day, which is like a high carb day, a medium carb day, or more of a higher fat day. And it's basically just circulating through this program based off of, you know, the state that your body's in. So some great research from the University of San Francisco verified research on it. I can get it over to you guys. And that to me was really cool. But what I would recommend for someone who doesn't have the wallet to purchase something like that, it's not even that expensive, but who doesn't want to purchase it, I would just say, eat a balanced diet. Like your plate should look, in my opinion, balanced. Like if you're a vegan, that's one thing. If you're a vegetarian, that's another thing. If you're pescatarian, fine. You know your values and your rules. But if you do eat animal protein, you know, it should look like your protein, your slow burning carbohydrate, and your vegetable. And, you know, we need to make sure that we have a balance of healthy fats in there and just making sure that we get an array of micronutrients and macronutrients. And I feel like if you do that and you maintain blood sugar levels, and that should be the goal, to maintain blood sugar levels, I feel like energy levels become incredibly high, cravings become incredibly low, And though you feel like you're eating a little bit more food, you're not craving and you're not fighting, you know, that fight in the evening that a lot of us are fighting with. Oh my God, I want to have the ice cream. I want to eat this. I'm craving that. When you're eating properly and you're balanced, you're not craving any junk. And that would be the best way I tell you to do it.
That's huge. And I think that there's also ways to get around, like, okay, can you have the piece of dark chocolate? You can surround yourself with different kinds of things because, I mean, as women, we do go through cycle changes every single month and things change, you know? And so you're going to feel something different, but how can you surround yourself with your environment so that you're not taking in something that's going to spike your blood sugar and going to make you crave different things? And I think like that's something that I myself have had to be very conscious of as well, because it does change throughout the month. And you'll realize that there's some times throughout the month where you're like, I'm amazing and I don't crave anything. And then there's times when you're like, I want it all. So it just, it changes.
Yeah, it changes. And I really can't, obviously, I've learned to say, I can't speak through experience there, but I can sympathize because I have worked with a lot of women and I'm married and, you know, I have two sisters and a mom and I've seen, you know, what women have to go through. So I completely sympathize. I just tell people, you know, don't be so hard on yourself also. Yeah. Like having a piece of dark chocolate, like every night during during that time of the month, like that's the worst thing you're going to do. Like go knock yourself out. No problem. Like it's like, all right, like let's relax a little bit. It's life. We need to just figure out ways to be happy and optimize energy levels and optimize sleep quality. I feel like if you focus on that, I think everything just starts kind of correcting itself. Not everything, but most, you know?
I will say like our little choice of dessert that we make, especially in times when I'm craving more sweets, is we take a date and some almond butter, and then we put a piece of dark chocolate in it, and it is amazing.
Could eat those things up all day long.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And so I mean, good.
And to your point, Don, I think like people start realizing if you just implement and start incorporating a lot more high quality foods, it completely changes. Again, we get into talks about hormones and how your body perceives different foods and how we start to satiate ourselves actually. And it starts to slightly shift those cravings in a way that like, hey, I might just crave more natural sweetness, like something that comes from a date or honey or bananas or something like that. And Jen and I, we crave ice cream a lot of the times. And I always keep frozen bananas in the freezer. And I have our go-to banana ice cream recipe that I just whip up at home. I throw lots of natural sweetnesses and fats in there. And man, that stuff's tasty. Like,
oh yeah.
And we can gorge ourselves on that and not feel bad about it. We're just like, well, okay, we love it.
Powerful. This. And that's what I like to say. Like I have no problem with someone overeating food that's powerful. Mm. It's just like those empty calories and, you know, processed sugars and all this stuff that our body just kind of utilizes and just says, oh my God, like this shouldn't be here. And then we spend all this time trying to detox, you know, all this junk that we're putting. That's the problem I really have with alcohol. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. Like, do I go out once in a while and have a couple of drinks? Like, sure. Like, I don't like feeling like shit. I have more of a problem with what it's doing. When someone asks me, they're like, well, when you go out and drink, like, what do you drink? I'm like, if I go out and drink, like, I'll drink whatever they're serving. I don't care. Like, well, aren't you like, oh, I'll drink mojitos. I'll drink margaritas. Like, it's got a lot of sugar. Aren't you worried about that? I'm like, no. I'm like, I'm drinking once every 8 weeks. I'm not worried. If I want to go drink 5 IPAs, I'm on the mound with my wife. I'm going to go enjoy an IPA. I'm not worried that there's gluten in the beer. Like, I'll be fine. Like, I'm more worried about what it's doing to my body hormonally and if it's messing my sleep up and what that does to me over the next couple of days. But I'm not going to get fat from drinking a couple of beers once every 6 to 8 weeks. Like, if you're drinking every night, and then that's a different conversation. It's a different conversation. But again, I just think people, it's that lack of education. They don't really know. They're like, you know, it's high calorie. Like, no, consume higher calories. I'm fine with that if it's from good calories. Maybe we'll maintain blood sugar levels. I found in my experience that people are either consuming a lot of the wrong calories or they're trying to limit the calories by eating really clean things and they're just not hitting their like total daily energy expenditure, like the amount of calories they're burning in a total day through just sitting or moving. And if they're falling and they're in a deficit, like things are going to go wrong and you're going to crave stuff and then you're going to be battling that fight. And then all it takes is one emotional day and you just turn around and you say, oh, the hell with it. I'm just diving into, you know, 3 bags of chips.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I think many people go through that kind of cycle. Like you said, especially around this time in the holidays when we're all making goals for the next year, how can we set up that that next behavior or make those health changes. But like you're saying, I think we need to continue to encourage people to do it with a lifestyle, lifetime behavior change in mind. And I think you have a super cool perspective as somebody who has 15 plus years of experience owning gyms in New York, doing it in person with a lot of people.
Yep.
And now you do a lot of stuff online through programs online. Do you find that there are similar challenges in reaching people and getting them to make these changes through both in-person and online services?
Yeah. I mean, I think online always becomes a little bit more difficult because you're not really seeing what they're doing. And I think a big challenge for me online has been, you know, someone reaches out and they're like, oh, you know what? Like, I'm struggling in this area, or, oh, like, I think the program is making me a little bulky. And you're like, okay, well, let's go through this a little bit. And when you break it down, you're like, yeah, you just drank five nights last week. It's like, come on, like, it's not bulky. And you drank and how much, well, maybe I've been 80-20 on the diet. I'm like, well, that means 60-40. And they're like, all right, maybe it's 60-40. I said, so clean it up. Like, just clean up your nutrition. Stop putting it on the program. Like, it's, then we can make an assessment. I'm not going to say that like resistance training is never going to cause someone to bulk up. I don't know how someone's going to respond to it. Like, they might turn around or they might have a really good response, or they might just turn around and gain muscle really easy, or maybe give them the look that they don't want. Like, I don't know, but there's so many other variables that are involved with that before you can make the decision and point the finger at the program that I think that's what online training, I think that's what a lot of the issues are when you're launching these programs. In person, it was definitely, I think, a bit easier because you could hold this level of accountability. But you know what I like about, when I say online training, I mean like the programs that I sell globally or the challenges that I launch. I mean, I work with I worked with one person today. It was Blake Lively. I'm working with one person tomorrow. It's Annie Hathaway. Like, I work with a couple of people like that because I've been very close to them for years and they're great to me and I'm great. And I try and supply that same service and being great to them. But, you know, otherwise, you know, I feel like I could scale and reach so many more lives, and I feel like I can help change many more people rather than working with John Doe on a Tuesday morning. Like, to me, that's not, it's just, I don't mean to say this, it's just not really fulfilling anymore. It's fulfilling for me to be in touch with 10,000 people and notice that, you know, 98% of them have made huge like lifestyle changes. And they're all, you know, marketing and talking to their friends for me. And they're all like, this has been an incredible influence on my life. My life is different. It's better. Everything is happening for a good reason now. I feel like I have a purpose. That for me, when I hear that from certain people, I'm like, oh my God, that's the ultimate, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's huge. And you're giving that accessibility to so many more people in order to be able to create that lifestyle change. And they only make it online. And this is my favorite part, is if they actually do it. Like, you aren't in person with them. So you have, they have to be implementing the tools in order for it to work. And I think for me, that's always been the most like impactful piece for me, is that like, I'm not there telling you to do it. I'm giving you tools, but you got to implement it to feel change. So that's really freaking cool if you do. Like, yeah. I love that.
100%. No, I mean, you guys get it. I mean, you guys do it as well as anyone I've seen. So, you know, I think it does, you know, it does take a certain type of individual to be in the business that we're in. And I mean, I'm sure you hear it all the time, you know, how did you get here? This and that. Like, it's not always roses. Like, I owned clubs in the city and I was burning cash. Like, I remember it's at one point back in 07, 08, losing literally six figures a month from just the business just tanking. And you just, you know, you just got to say to yourself, like anything else, this isn't working. What do I have to do? And if I sat there and continued to try to do this the same thing, I would have been screwed.
Yeah.
But I think stepping out of yourself sometimes and saying, all right, I need help. I need to go. I need to get consultants. I need someone to look at this business objectively and say, what am I doing wrong? And when you do that, I think you become very powerful. But I think it's the same thing with our health and wellness. If something you are doing is not working, then you need to assess what is not working. I think it's insanity if you just continue to try and do the same thing over and over. I've tried this New Year's resolution the last 5 years and it hasn't worked. Well, why are you trying it again? Like, let's do something a little bit different. So I don't know. I can go on and on about this. I'm obviously very passionate about it. But.
I absolutely love it. Well, when you are online too, I'm sure you have to get people reaching out to who are like, oh, well, I want to look like Blake Lively. What is her plan? What do you give her? What exactly should I do to look like her? Do you get that a lot too?
Yeah. I mean, and it's interesting with Blake, because Blake will be, she's coming on my challenge next month. I'm donating like a chunk of money to the Child Rescue Coalition, which is one of her charities. And, you know, the thing I love about Blake is that she's so honest and open about it. I think there was a post she did a few years ago and she put a picture up of herself. She's like, I lost 63 pounds. It only took me 18 months right after the baby. Mm. And people were like, oh my God, that just made them feel so good, because they were, I think, expecting her to say it took 2 months and 3 months. And then she just went into this whole rant on how she just struggled and she just was up with her kids and, you know, doing mother stuff, you know, normal, typical motherly family stuff. And, you know, and there was times she couldn't stay on her diet. And I think she was so open and natural about it. And she was just, listen, she's a normal person. There's no real, you know, she's made up of tissue and muscle. And she's got a heart. She's got a soul. She's got all the same stuff that we have. So I think people will put sometimes someone like Blake on this pedestal, which she should be, because she's an amazing human being. And the amount of good that her and her husband do is just incredible. They don't even look for recognition. But I do believe, and I know, and she's open about it, that it's not always easy with the fitness piece of it. And that's why I love her so much. She's just so open to talk about it.
All right, we're coming up on the holiday, and a lot of people are always asking, what type of equipment, what type of implement should I have in my house to get a good workout in? And a lot of people are looking to be able to have resistance. And with so many people working out from home these days, it's really tough to have all these bulky weights and kettlebells and everything and just store them around the house somewhere. The Koba board is a piece of equipment that is so easy to store, but can let you get really good resistance workouts in using just banded type technology and really feel soreness the next day by doing banded deadlifts and squats. And the thing that Jen and I like the most about this board is that the way it tilts you while you're doing deadlifts or while you're doing squats really helps you with the proper form in those lifts. Go to our pages, check it out. We have posts that we've been putting up that show how to use this board, that show different exercises that you can try. And if you go to the link in the show notes right now and use code OPTIMAL, you'll get 15% off this board. Again, it's a device that's so easy to store away, easy to take with you in the car if you're traveling somewhere, and take out, get a great resistance workout, and learn how to do those squats and deadlifts just a little bit better. Check out the link in the show notes. Use code OPTIMAL for 15% off, and let's head back into the interview.
Yeah, and I really like that you bring that up. I mean, they're real people. And, yeah. you say that about Jen and I, like, oh, we're the epitome of health. Like, well, Don, I got to tell you, we're real people. and we have our setbacks. And as I'm sure, you know, you do as well. You got times that you're not feeling like you're doing as well as you could be. And there's always that chance to step back and reassess and say, okay, who can I connect with? How can I maybe hold myself accountable to doing things a little bit better for myself, to feel a little bit better in my body? And that's what I appreciate about what you just said, is it's not about trying to look exactly like a certain person. It's about understanding that it's a process and it's your process, and it's going to look really specific to you as an individual.
You said it beautifully. I just think that if we could just focus a little bit more on that daily business plan and just keep it very simple. Like, sometimes I'll tell people, write down the night before, like today's Monday, write down right now, what would make an ideal day for you on Tuesday? They're like, well, maybe it's to wake up at this time, drink, you know, a quarter of my daily water intake, or get a workout in, see my kids, eat 3 healthy square meals, laugh a little bit, go for a walk with my wife, my husband, whatever it is, simple. And you start marking that down. And then, like, throughout the day, it's check, it's check, it's check. And you look at that sometimes, and sometimes we hit 100%, and that's fantastic. Sometimes we hit 90%, and you're like, all right, I still did a pretty damn good job. And I think if we take that outlook and try and get pretty close to that point, but understand that when we can't check that box that day, doesn't make us a bad person. It's just like, all right, like, get back on it tomorrow. And I think that's a good lesson to be learned.
Yeah.
Do you feel like the way that you take care of yourself has modeled what that looks like and what that gets to look like in your kid's life, or even like someone who has a significant other?
Oh, no, no way. I've got a 14-year-old daughter. Amelia and my son Donnie's turning 13. And listen, I am not. I made a decision a long time ago with even with my wife. Like she's inconsistent in the gym and she eats okay and she's, you know, she's out, she orders a glass of wine. I don't pull judgment to that. I think it's great. Like she looks amazing. I love her to death. Like I'm more attracted to her now than I even was when I met her, if that's even possible. Like there's all this positive stuff there. And my kids, I gotta let them be kids. What's interesting is they're both, you know, active. My daughter, you know, swims and plays softball. My son plays ice hockey and he's obsessed with baseball. Mm. And they'll get into the gym on their own, like with their own, like on their own will, and they'll exercise on their own and they'll try and make good food choices on their own. But I'm never like, you know, the only really rule that we have in the house is like, we won't take them for dessert during the week. But we even cave in on that once in a while. It's like, whatever. It's not like we just try and, all right, listen, if we're having hamburgers from dinner, like they don't even know it's from grass-fed meat, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Like, they don't realize that they're having French fries. It's in an air fryer from organic potatoes. Like they don't know that stuff. But like last week, my son got out of religion. He was starving. Like I drove him through Burger King. Like, mm-hmm. what do you want? I want Burger King. I'm like, all right, let's get Burger King. Some people are like, are you nuts? Like, what the hell? Like he's going to live. He's going to be fine. He eats it once, twice a month. Sometimes as a parent, like you gotta get him a quick meal. And it is what it is. It's 9 p.m. Like I don't have a kitchen right now. I can't cook food because we're in renovation. Like you just do it once in a while. And it's like, don't feel bad about it. Just I try not to make sure that they're doing it too much. That's how I treat it. The last thing I ever want them to do is have them raised up all screwed up because their dad, who's fanatical about this stuff, you know, force them to develop like, you know, insecurities or poor choices because, you know, I'm forcing stuff down their throat.
That's such a cool way of seeing it. Cause I think that, you know, you have this mindset, no, I'm not going to force my kids to make any specific choice. But the coolest thing is the environment that you've put around them throughout their development and learning about all these decisions has resulted in them choosing those things themselves and not ever feeling like it's been forced upon them, but just the choices they've had throughout growing up. It just seems like, right. Hey, this is just kind of the natural thing for me to do. And it makes my body feel great. And now they're making those choices for themselves without you ever feeling like you've been that helicopter parent, just forcing it upon them. So that's really cool.
Yeah, no, definitely. And thank you. But yeah, they're going to be, you know, our kids are going to be fine. And, you know, I just, you know, I want them happy and I want them making good choices. And
I did just see a video too. I think your son's questioning your ability to know what an actual pull-up is.
Yeah. but it's funny. It's like, he's giving a thumbs up on the video. Like your kids see what you do. And I think I can't tell you how many parents have called me up. Well, what should I be feeding my kids? I'm like, what are you feeding yourself?
Yes.
Like, I already know that they eat like shit. I'm like, how are you like, I know you want what's best for your kids, but you can't even do this for yourself. Like, try leading by example. Mm. Like allow them to see you make good food choices. On the other hand, like my kids will see me go to Cheesecake Factory and, you know, eat mini sliders and ice cream like I'm going to the electric chair. Like, it's totally fine. I'm going in. But when they see that I'm prepping for something, they'll see a little bit more discipline. They'll see me turn up the volume a little bit. And they don't question it. They understand. They get it. But they understand that there is a balance there. And that's what I want.
I mean, I think that is such an incredible example that you're just naturally setting without forcing it. And that is exactly it. What are you doing for yourself? Because it's not, you know, what foods are you having around the house that you eat? I mean, your kids are going to kind of have around the house or snacks or things that you have around as well, because that's what you're consuming. And I think that's where it should always start. And Dom and I both, you know, credit the examples that we've had growing up to lead to where we are today. Absolutely. in the choices that we make and the lifestyle that we live was super impacted because of the examples that we got to see. So you're doing incredible. Just got to say that.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. And listen, it's great to see how you guys take this approach with life in general. I mean, you have great balance and you guys are great.
Thank you, Don. Well, where can people get in on these challenges that you hold or see your online programs or get more information about you?
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I think it's simple. I mean, Instagram, it's Don Saladino. My site's donsaladino.com. And hopefully you guys get out here in the next couple months and we can have some fun and shoot some content and just, you know, have a good time, but show people that there's such a positive relationship that we have between our health and wellness and how we approach it. And I think that's what it's all about. So thanks again for having me on.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for making the time. Super grateful that we got to connect out in Seattle, and yeah, I can't wait for the next time.
Same here, brother. And Jen, thank you so much. Keep in touch. If you guys need anything out of me, you let me know. And I can't wait to have you on next time.
Love Don so much. Such a cool guy. I hope you were able to get some empowerment, words of encouragement, and you feel better about going out and getting healthy within your body. Now, of course, we bring on some incredible guests. So if you haven't subscribed yet, please do. You can check out some of our past guests we've had and some of our future ones that are to come. And don't forget, every Monday, we do an educational podcast about a diagnosis, a pain point in your body. And we want this information to be able to get out to so many more people. And it helps so much. And I know it takes a little time, but if you can just go leave us a rate and review, it helps so much that we can get out to more people and hopefully help to get other people healthy and feeling better in their bodies.